new season. 46, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter unto the joy of the Lord. It's important to be a faithful servant. Faithful servant. That means he can trust you. That means you listen. That means you're being obedient and follow his instruction. Faithful servant. If thou hast been faithful, my God, then now he can make you rule over many things, because you faithful over the little things, over many things, and now he can make you ruler. Oh, hallelujah. My God, faithful over a few now. Now I will make you rule over many things. Ain't God good? Follow Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word today. Let the words help. Bless, heal, and deliver. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Till we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ Shalonda Nobles. That's $SHOLONDANOBLES. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, we glorify your name. We praise you. For you alone are worthy. And Lord, we're here to say that we love you. We're here to make it known that we appreciate how good you've been to us. You've been better to us than we can be to ourselves. And Lord, we don't deserve it in our wretchedness, but Lord, we thank you that you saw us as sin sick as we was, and you decided to send your very best, your only begotten son, who came, hung, bled, died, but you raised him on the third day. And now we are believers, and now we are sons of God. You've given us the power to be such through the shedding of his blood, and we thank you now. We thank you, Lord. Father, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen today of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe. We thank you, Lord. Father, bless my brothers and sisters in Christ today. Bless them, Lord God. Let them be healed. Let them be delivered. Let them be set free. Let them have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord to be their strength on this morning. We thank you, Lord. Father, we're thankful that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. In this moment of intimacy, you've made us whole by what we felt in the presence that we've been in today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And Father, after you've healed and delivered, after you've set free, after you've blessed us with a word, after your spirit has guided us, and Father, and somebody had the blood applied to their life and they become saved, we thank you, Lord, and we will be careful to give you the glory. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor. And we will join with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy God. You're holy God. You're holy God. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Going along with the series of introducing Jesus, I want to say he's the source of life. Amen. Simple messages, you know, not trying to get deep into it, but because I want people to understand the simplicity of the gospel is much more important than trying to dive deep. and losing people. So I want everybody to get something here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So he is the source of life. Introducing Jesus, the source of life. Produce love as a church. If we can produce love as a Christian, then we are producing the fruit that God wants us to produce. But the problem is we can't produce love because of lust. We can't produce love because we have agendas that are hidden, agendas in our heart. But if we really love people, if we really have the Holy Ghost like we say we got it, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, he said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so if we have the Holy Spirit, we got enough love. We can't say that I can't love them. We can love them. We just got to get us out of the way. Is that all right today? May not make you shout, but it'll make you right. Amen. And let's go on a little further before I be too long. Now, verse 3 says, and now ye are clean through the word which I have what? Spoken unto you. You are clean through the word. Not only is he genuine and the true vine, the real deal, and God the Father is the gardener, the guardian, the provider, and the protector, but we find out here that our Savior is also a sanitizer. Uh-huh. He's also said he cleans us when he talks to us. I know some people said that, I'm going to get myself together, clean myself up, then I'm going to go to church. It's not going to happen. If you could do it, then you would have done it a long time ago. That's why every time you try to do it, you always go back to your old self. Every time you try to do right, you always end up in wrong. Even Paul, the great apostle, said, that I would do, I do not, that I would not, that's what I do. In other words, the stuff that I don't want to do, I end up doing all the time. Come on and say amen. And so he's saying here that when you hear the word of God, it ought to make you clean. Won't he make you clean inside? Oh, yeah, he will make you clean. But you know, and I remember, you can tell when you've been in a place where God is speaking through the man of God, because when you leave, you feel clean. I remember when I was young and I would go hear these certain preachers, not all of them, but it was certain ones. I could hear them preach and I'd feel so clean that I wouldn't want to go be around my friends because I knew I was going to get dirty again. I knew we was going to cuss and we was going to lie and we was going to act a fool, you know. So when I would hear him, I'd say, I don't want to be bothered. Sunday night, Monday, I wouldn't want to be bothered. By Wednesday, here I am back with those rascals and doing this. But I have to go back Sunday to get clean again. And it's something about being clean on the inside. You know, I'm not saying that I had a self-righteous spirit, but I just wanted to have that constant communion with God. And so in order to have that, the Savior cleans us up so that we can be able to come before God. That's why the blood of Jesus, it is the cleansing agent. And we can go boldly to the throne of grace and we can get mercy because of the cleansing power of the Savior. Look at what he says. You are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. When he talks about being clean, we got to understand that we can be clean by the water, by the washing, by the word of God. Come on and say amen. The word of God is what washes us. The word of God is what cleans us. The word of God, it cleans and sanitizes us so that we can have that good, clean spirit so that we can receive from God what God wants us to have. Amen. He cleans us. He washes us. And verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide where? In me. Now notice this. Not only is he our sanitizer, but he's our supplier. Look at this. He says that abide in me. We got to dwell in him. All we have to do is be connected and stay connected. Somebody say stay connected. If we stay connected, then he will produce in us what needs to be produced. In other words, it's automatic. I'll tell somebody it's automatic. I can automatically love if I'm connected to Jesus. I can automatically do his will if I'm connected to Jesus. It's not a hard task for me to preach today because I'm connected. I wish I had some people that was connected. You have to be connected, and not just be connected, but stay connected, because there are some things that the enemy wants to do. He wants to put a kink in your card so that the connection will be interrupted. But we need to stay connected to God. And as we stay connected to him and hear his word, automatically what needs to be produced begins to produce in our life. So everything that you need, God said, is already in there. You already got it, but you need to stay connected in order for this life, that the life of Christ, to be manifested. You got to stay connected. It's not that we have to try so hard. All you got to do is just obey him and do what he says. And once you do that, all the things that he wants done in your life, it begins to happen in your life because you've been connected. You ain't got to say, well, I'm going to stop cussing. If you're connected, you're going to stop cussing. You ain't got to say that I'm going to stop drinking and smoking and doing this and doing that. If you stay connected, if you don't let something interrupt you and something get between you and God, then guess what? You will be able to do all the stuff that you really want to do. Because most of us, when we come to church, we are in church the person that we want to be all the time. But we can't be that person all the time because there's so many interruptions, so many things that get in between us and God. Sometimes we let people get between us and God. We let money get between us and God. We let whatever husband, friend, job, whatever, any kind of mess come up. We forget who we are. I put my Holy Ghost down in my religion too, and we become what we used to be or what we think we ought to be at the moment because of pride. But we got to get to a place where if I'm connected, I'm staying connected. I'm not putting no Holy Ghost down because he never put me down. As a matter of fact, he was the one that picked me up when I was down in the dust, in the dirt, when nobody else would look my way. If it was not for the Lord on my side, where would I be? So I can't get disconnected from him because he's my source. He's my supplier. He's my sanitizer. He's my guardian. He's my protector. He's my keeper. He's my all in all. Y'all gonna make me preach for amen, huh? Glory. I'm almost done here. He said, if you abide in me, the branch cannot bear fruit of except it what? Abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. And he that abided in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He's sharing with us, look, you not only will bring forth fruit, but if you just stay with it, you're gonna bring forth more, much fruit. You're going to be a producer. You're going to be somebody that produces what God wants you to produce. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, you would have productivity out of this world if you just stay with it. Amen. Tell somebody, stay with it. Oh, yeah, we got to stay with it because if we stay with it, the devil, he eventually going to realize that I can't mess with him. I need to mess with somebody around him. And then you can help them through their trial. Come on and say hallelujah. He says in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do no thing. That's the one thing that we got to get in our head. Without him, it ain't nothing I can do. You know what? I can't live. I can't breathe. I can't move without him. He is the life. Amen. He is the light. He is the word. He's everything. He's my all in all. Without him, I can't exist. If he had not spoken a word, you wouldn't be here today. So without him, I can't exist and I can do nothing. It is in him I move, live, and have my being. Without him, I'm nothing. And so why are we trying to be something without him? When he said, you can't do nothing without me. We try to forget about him. We try to do what we got to do. Oh, yeah, I'll get back to him later on. Let me live my life. Let me do my thing. Let me be who I'm going to be. And later on, whatever's left of me, I'll give it to him. You can't even be that without him. If it was not for his mercy, you couldn't wander off. Come on and say amen. And then think that you're going to make it back. But that goes to show you, even when you don't realize it, you have as much trust in his mercy as you do in his grace. Because it is his mercy that you go out and do what you want to do. And then his mercy, everybody say, oh, well, I got the mercies of God. Well, that's true. Because his mercies are what? New every morning. This morning when I rose, I got a new mercy. But you know what? His grace stays with me all day long. And so you know what? I love the mercies of God, but the mercies of God only hold back for a little while the things that suppose to happen to me. But the grace says, you know what? I'm going to make sure that you get things that things begin to happen to you that wasn't supposed to happen to you. In other words, the good things that you don't deserve, I'm going to bless you with. The good things that the eternal life that you really don't deserve, I'm going to give you. Oh, come on and say, man, the things that we don't deserve, that's what grace gives us. The healing that we don't deserve, the deliverance that we don't deserve, grace gives it to us. Verse 6. If a man abide in me and he is cast forth as a branch. If you're supposed to be something, be what you're supposed to be. Don't be pretending. And is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. In other words, he said, if you don't abide in the true vine, if you're faking it and you ain't producing no fruit, if something happens to your connection and the life of Jesus is not operating through you, then you begin to wither. And so you know how you ever saw a tree that is still standing, but you can tell that it's dead? That's how when God looks at a person not connected in Jesus Christ, that's what you are. You may still be standing, but you're dead. Oh, come on and say amen. You're dead. And so he's saying here that if we don't abide in the true vine, the one thing I like about this, God shows us in this text that he deals with you as long as you're connected. Yeah. Look, if you're not producing right, he deals with you. He lifts you up so that you can produce. He watches over you. He does all of this if you're connected. But then when you start to wither, God don't deal with you no more. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Stick a fork in you, you're done. Look at what he says here. It says that God does not leave you in the garden either. But men begin to deal with you. Look at what he said. Oh, yeah. He said, God says, I don't use you if you're withered. I let men use you. Now, you don't want to be used by God? Somebody's going to use you until they use you up. What did the men do? Let's look at it. He says that men gather them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. Why do men put them in the fire? For their comfort and their convenience. Whether it's for the cooking, whether it's for the staying warm or whatever, but men use them for their comfort and their convenience. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is that if you don't let God use you, then he turns you over to man and then man takes you and use you up. So you might as well let God use you. Oh, Lord. This is not the first Sunday message you wanted in 2016. Y'all just bear with me, amen? If you don't let God use you, then man can use you. Man uses you up till you are no more. And you know what? They won't even say thank you. They won't say thank you. They won't say appreciate you, nothing. That's what you're supposed to do. Let me use you. But if you let the Lord use you, he'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many. Yes. Then he gives you a place. He gives you a place. Let's go on. Let me finish. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Look at the promise of answered prayer. Look at this. He said, I will answer your prayer if you abide in me and my words abide in you. What I say abide in you. If you let them live in you, my words live inside of you, then you can ask what you will. And guess what? It will be done unto you. It shall be. It didn't say it might be. It didn't say there's a chance. No, if you let the word of God live on the inside of you, you can ask what you will and God will do it. Oh, have mercy here. Now we got to get an understanding, though. We got to understand just because we say something that God don't have to do it. And just because we need something, God don't have to provide it. Because God does not move because you have a need. God moves when you have faith. If God moved when you had a need, nobody would be hungry in the world. Nobody would have nakedness. None of this would happen. But God moves where there's faith. And so when we have faith in his word and his word abide in us, we speak his word back to him and say, God, just remember. remember what you said. And God said, yeah, you know what? I sure did say that. Now, here it is. Come on and say amen now. And we have the promise of answered prayer that God's goodness and his glory will be revealed to us. Look at what he says in verse 8. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. In other words, you're going to bear fruit and you're going to be disciplined by God. You're going to be a disciplined learner. You're going to be somebody who learns from God. He learns from the experiences that God brings you into. You'll be somebody who say that I'm not having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth, but I'm coming into the knowledge of the truth, of understanding of what God requires of me, that I stay in him and he stays in me, and you can't separate the two of us, because his love is greater for me. That's why the scripture tells us in Romans 8 and 38, Paul says that I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, because God loves us so much, because we have his word on the inside of us. His word is the weight that holds us down. His word is the weight, the kabod, the glory of God that holds us where we need to be. Come on and say amen here. And he tells us, he says in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, and for you to continue in my love. We need to understand that Jesus is the source of this love. Jesus is the source of this life. Jesus is all we need. And so we need to understand that. First off, I know we thought that we needed a car and a house and a husband and a wife, and we needed a good job that paid $90,000 a year. But if you got Jesus, you got all you need, because when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that's going to matter. All the works that you work down here, they're going to be just works. I heard the preacher say yesterday that those works will follow you, not lead you. See, some of us, we're led by works, but we need to be led by Jesus Christ and by his Holy Spirit. And he tells us, he says, for the Father had loved me, so I'm going to love you. And the same love, what he's trying to show us is that the same love the Father showed him, he showed us. And so the same love that he shows us, we need to show the world. We need to show people. Come on and say amen here. So how did he love us? He loved us through his sacrifice. For the Bible says that greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Do you have any friends that you know of today that might lay their life down for you? Oh yeah, you get in a little trouble, they snitch on you in a minute, and you talking about that's your friends, and you letting them keep you away from God? Oh, I wish I had a few people here today that understood that this kind of love is the greatest kind of love. There's nothing greater than the love of God. If it wasn't for the love of God, we would already be perished. We would already be destroyed. But God has kept back the hand of the enemy so that he can't destroy us, so that we might be able to share love with somebody else, so the love would keep on going. Is there anybody that wants to be a part of the caravan of love? Oh, come on and say amen here. The Bible says, how did he love us? The Bible tells us in John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. See, when you have everlasting life, I heard a lady on TV, she was talking about her situation with cancer. She said, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord, but I know heaven is for me. But since I got children, I'm praying that God would let me raise them up. Do I have any witnesses here? What a courageous statement. You know, I love the Lord and I know he has a place for me, but since I'm here, let me show them the love. Let me show them what God has shown me. Do I have anybody that said, I'm here because of love? I'm here because of the life of Jesus Christ. If it had not been for his life, I wouldn't be where I am today. The Bible says that Jesus took up a rugged cross. Do I have have anybody here. The Bible said he took up a cross that wasn't even his cross. The Bible said that they took Jesus out and they said, do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? And Jesus, the crowd said, we want Barabbas. See, we're somewhat like the crowd. We want Barabbas. We want to see the thief go. We want to see the murderer loosed, but we want to see the Son of God crucified. They asked, and I heard Pastor Claiborne say this morning, they could have asked for anything. They could have said stone him. They could have said whip him. They could have said imprison him, but yet they said crucify him. Oh, come on and say amen here. We need to understand that God, he came down. Jesus came to be crucified, and the reason he came to be crucified is because he loved us. He loved us so much that he decided to take up the cross, and he went up to Calvary's hill, and he let them put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I said let, and the reason he let them is because he said, no man take my life, but I'll lay it down for my friends. They didn't have to make him lay down, but he laid down willingly and let them put nails in his hands. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They riveted his feet. Then they took him and hung him high, dropped him in a hole. I wish I had some people here that understood what I was saying. But then he looked up, and it had two thieves on either side. One wanted relief by saying, if you be the Son of God, won't you come down and save yourself and save us too? Then the other thief said, shut up. We deserve what we got. That's the repentant thief. Are you like that thief? Because at some point, we were thieves. We were sucking the life out of Jesus when we really didn't deserve it. Oh, come on and say amen here. He said that we deserve this, but remember me when you come into paradise. I have somebody here that say, I'm with you, preacher. I need him to remember me, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Do I have anybody? Come on and say yes here. But the Bible says that he didn't look down at the soldiers, and he didn't get mad. He didn't get mad at the thief. He didn't even get mad at the crowd. But while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do I have a witness here? He even told the other thief, he said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and say yes here. I'm so glad that he knew how to handle his haters while he was hanging on the cross, because he looked up to heaven and said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. But then this caused somebody who was a non-believer to finally preach the gospel, and the first sermon was preached when the centurion soldier looked up and said, surely, surely, this is the Son of God. Do I have anybody that said, I was like the centurion? I heard about the cross. I even looked up at him on the cross. But I'm here to declare that surely he is the Son of God. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. Can I go back a little bit, just like the old preacher, and say, he died. Didn't he die, children? I say he died until the sun went down and refused to shine. Do I have any witnesses? He died until the earth began to rock and reel, and darkness covered the earth, so that the S-O-N would be able to shine. But he didn't stay dead. They took him down and they put him in Joseph's borrowed tomb, because he only needed it for the weekend. Because early, that's a church word that ought to make church folks happy. Early, say early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Do I have any witnesses? He got power to give you life, power to make you right, power to clean up your life and turn you around, power power to pick you up out of the dust. Do I have anybody that say he has power, and not a little bit of power, he has all power, not no horsepower, not nuclear power, not electrical power, not pneumatic power, but all power. In other words, he has all power. And guess what he did? He gave us power. He said, now you have power over all the power of the enemy. So therefore, I'm going to stay connected. I don't care what comes, hell or high water. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do you know what I'm talking about? So I'm going to stay right here and see the salvation of the Lord. I shall not be moved. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do I have anybody that say, I'm standing with you? I'm not sitting on the premises. I'm standing.